want you to turn your Bible to the book of Luke, the 8th chapter. The book of Luke, the 8th chapter. A very familiar passage, but once again, God has given us some insight to share with you on today. Last week, we talked about the appropriateness of silence. And this morning, I want to ask you a question. Will you be the one? Just want to know this morning, will you be the one? We're going to find out why I asked that question later on in our service. But I just want to ask a question this morning. Will you be the one? There are a lot of people that will go to church today. A lot of people will attend church today. But not many will touch the heart of God.
Right.
And it is so important that we understand our attendance cannot be based on our duty, our obligations, or even our title. But our attendance must be based on a love relationship that we've established with God. If you are serving for people to acknowledge you, then I will tell you, get ready for your feelings to get hurt. If you're serving for people to always recognize you, don't be surprised when they don't. If you're serving for the crowd to applause, give you a great applause, I want you to know that you're in the wrong arena. But what we do for God must be about Him.
Yes,
right.
It can't be about it. People, can't be about positions, can't be about influence, or power, prestige, or any of those things. It must be about Him. Because the Word of God tells us in Him we live, we move, and we have our being. And we cannot afford to allow ourselves to be caught up with the crowd. A lot of people are following after God for stuff, for things. But we must follow after God because we love Him. We shouldn't be here this morning if we don't love Him. We shouldn't sing any note if we don't love Him. We shouldn't lift our hands if we don't love Him. So the basis of our attendance and our desire to be here, once again, can't be about people.
Right.
It's got to be about God.
Yes.
Because people will fail you.
Yes.
People will disappoint you.
Right.
And oftentimes they will drive you to your knees. So sometimes unofficial ushers help you to get into the presence of God. I say unofficial. Because you can't, once again, you can't become distracted by things that are going on around you, by what others are saying, what others are doing. You've got to work this thing out for yourself. Billy Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So this morning, I want to ask a question. Will you be the one? Will you be the one? Luke chapter 8, verses 43 down to verse number 48. Luke chapter 8, as I stated, I was trying to prepare another, going another direction. The Lord brought me back here because there's some things about this particular woman that bears some emphasis even on today. And one thing I want to say right before I get into this is that we all must understand that if we're expecting a miracle to take place, we've got to do something. We've got to get up, get out, and do something in order for God to do what He wants to do. Many times, it's not the enemy that holds our blessings up. Many times, we're in the way.
Yes.
thoughts, our attitudes, our disobedience, we get in the way of what God wants to do. But if we want to see God move, we got to get up, do something. Verse number 43, Luke chapter 8. Everybody have it?
Amen.
The woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which has spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue was gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace."
Jesus.
All right, now I want you to look at verse number 45. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" That was the question Jesus asked. He asked this question, and if you've been around me long enough, you know that whenever God asks a question, it's not because he's lacking information. It's not because he's clueless. When God asks a question, he's trying to provoke faith in the hearers. He wanted to know, in this crowd of many people, who touched him? He wanted to know who was the one that got his attention. As I stated earlier, we've got to really understand that in this last and evil day, that our motivation, our drive, our passion, the incentive of what we do for God must be based from the foundation of loving God. I've got to establish that before I go any further. We've got to have a love for God if we're going to serve him well, if we're going to serve him effectively. No matter what assignment you have, whether you're an usher, whether you're a musician, whether you do something as some people may say is menial, it's not menial because anything you do for God is great.
Well, yes.
If you clean up the church, if you sweep or you pick up something,
amen,
you've got to have a love for God.
Amen.
A love so strong that you'll allow what, once again, the opposition or the crowds may say or do to diminish your faith.
Right.
Worship team this morning didn't sing before a great crowd. But they sang like as if they were singing,
right,
before a great crowd.
Yes.
We must understand that when we do what we do for God, we can't do it for the crowd.
That's right.
We can't do it with the crowd in mind.
Amen.
We must have a singular view.
Amen.
That view says this: if no one else shows up, as long as God is here, I want to get his attention.
Yes.
I'm not impressed. Listen to me. I'm not impressed with your outfit. It looks nice.
Amen.
I'm not impressed with your song. It sounds nice.
Uh-huh.
But what I want to do is to make sure I make a connection with the Master. This is why we must understand that the motivation and intent of our heart must be about God, because, once again, the crowd fluctuates.
Yes.
It goes through ebbs and lows. But we must understand that when we stand to minister, when we stand to serve, we've got to do it with God in mind.
Amen.
Oftentimes, situations like this woman will cause us to be somewhat afraid to step out, or challenged by our circumstances. This is a text that I've looked at synoptically. When I use the term synoptically, I looked at it from Matthew's standpoint, shared that with you last week, looked at it from Mark's standpoint, looking at it from Luke's standpoint. I wanted to share with you Luke's standpoint this morning as a medical doctor, so you could see the depths of her depravity or the depths of her struggle. And I say a struggle because I'm understanding that there are a lot of people who are going through some stuff right about now. And oftentimes what they're going through, they cannot share it publicly.
Right.
I had an interesting share with Mother McKim. I had an interesting dialogue this week with First Lady Williams, who was here with us last week. And I had put up a statement based on a conversation I had with someone else. I didn't want to put that person's name up because it was really the world's business about our conversation. But I was basically saying that if you're in a destructive situation, it's not God's will for you to stay there. And the conversation that I had with First Lady Williams kind of went back and forth. And it kind of interests me that it was more along the lines of almost turning into an argument. And I didn't want to go there because that's not the reason why I made the statement that I made. But I was saying that there are a lot of people that are coming to churches or going to churches who are going through some stuff. And people don't really recognize and know the story behind their praise. Some people, they cannot afford, listen to me, they cannot afford to go to psychiatrists. They can come to church and open up their mouths. Now, I'm not saying if you need help, don't get help. No, if you need help, get it. But there's sometimes we need to understand that God has given us the release valve of praise for whatever our problems may be. And if there was a place, and if there is a place where you should be free to let go of your struggle, it should be the house of God.
That's right. That's right.
No one should judge your praise.
Right. Right.
No one should try to categorize while you're making that noise, while you're screaming, while you're dancing, because they don't know the inward struggle behind the scenes.
Yeah.
They don't understand what it took for you just to dress yourself up, to get yourself in the car and drive those miles while thinking about what you're leaving and may have to go back to and go to a place to get some strength just to make it another day.
Right.
Nobody knows.
Right.
Now, oftentimes, people may know and they may alienate you.
Right.
Such was the case with this woman. Bible says that she had an issue, and her issue lasted 12 long years. Now, never really dug into the depths of it until I looked at it this week, and I thought about it. This woman had to have gone through a lot of depression. She went through a lot of physical changes. She went through a lot of separation, a lot of alienation. And the Bible here says, when you look at it, at one point in time, she had some money. Because she went to doctor after doctor trying to alleviate the situation. Understand something. This is where we reach a point of frustration where we're so frustrated with what we're going through that we reach a point that I'm tired.
I'm exhausted. I've tried everything within me to try to make this work, and it's still not yet happening. It's still not yet working. There are a lot of tired saints in the house of God. A lot of people tired with life, tired with struggle, tired with family, tired with this, tired with that. But they've come to a place that they understand, I'm not too tired to stop coming. And this is the key. No matter how stressed you get, no matter how worn out you get with life, don't stop coming to the house. The enemy wants you to get distracted. He wants you to get disillusioned by things that are happening around you so that you would want to give up and say that this is my lot for life. But God wants you to understand you're the one he wants to reach out to today. You're the one that he wants to help today. You're the one that he wants to deliver today. But he doesn't want you to give up on yourself. He doesn't want you to give up on the situation. He doesn't want you to give up on your circumstance. But he wants you to know there's healing in the house for you today.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
This woman, probably, if you think about it, losing blood like this for 12 years was more than likely anemic. And because she was separated because of the law from being in the mainstream of society, she couldn't come out of the house. So she can't come out of the house and enjoy the sunshine. So therefore, she probably suffered from vitamin or calcium deficiency. She probably was bent over. She didn't have her complexion. Probably her hair was all jacked up. She couldn't dress herself up. She couldn't go anywhere because she couldn't come and be around the wonderful saints of God. But this was a day and time when she said, enough is enough. Exhaustion and frustration have gotten me to a place where I can depend on nobody else but God. And God sometimes allows us to go through life in such a way that we can't reach out for resources. Our resources are depleted. Our friends are coming gone. And the only one that stands waiting in the wings to help us is God Almighty. So I would say to you this morning, if you've given up on yourself, if you've given up on friends, if you've given up on your resources, I heard somebody sing a song, don't give up on God.
All right.
The best is yet to come. She notices, if you will, she makes up in her mind that although I've reached a place of despair and frustration, I still won't give up. I'm determined to hold on until the end. I'm determined to get my breakthrough. I'm determined to get my deliverance. I don't care what others may say about my looks. I don't care what they may say about my hair. I don't care what they may say about my complexion or my skin. I don't care about the fact life has got me bent over and bowled over. I've come to God's house today with the intent and purpose in mind to get my blessing. And I'm not leaving until I get it. I'm not leaving because things are not the way they should be. I'm not leaving because everybody may not be in their place. I'm where I need to be at the right time. And understand this, she was not where she should have been, but she got a blessing. Oftentimes, you're not where you should be, and God's favor still meets up to you and blesses you. All because he wants to know, are you hungry? Are you hungry? And are you thirsty? Will you be the one? Will you be the one what? The one that follows the crowd where Jesus goes? Because notice, if you will, and when Jesus shows up, he drew a crowd. But he knew, Jesus knew everybody in the crowd did not mean business. I'm going to say this, y'all. Please listen to me very carefully. Not everybody that goes to church wants to be saved.
That's right.
I'm going to say that again. Not everybody that goes to church wants to be saved. But there are a few of us in the crowd that are not following Jesus for fishes and loaves. This is not the gospel of gimme gimme. This is not the gospel I'm blaming, I'm blabbing, and I'm grabbing. That's not that gospel. The gospel that Jesus wants us to preach is that he died for your sins so you can rise again triumphantly, and he died for your sins so you can make a difference in this world. He died to change you and take you away from that habit, take that taste out of your mouth, and he died to bring about a change in your life. Everybody follows him. But notice this, if you will. Not everyone touches him. Everyone has the opportunity to come into the presence of God. Everyone has the privilege to come into the house of God. But God wants somebody to pull on him. God is looking for somebody to touch him in such a manner, in such a fashion, that they just didn't show up because it's Sunday. They just didn't show up because they had nothing else to do. They just didn't show up because they had a meeting. They had a dinner meeting after church. But they came with the intent and purpose in mind that I'm coming into the house of God with a need. My frustration and my desperation have brought me here, not just goodness and mercy, but frustration and desperation have brought me to a place where I recognize I can't get help from nobody else. I can't get help in myself. My help is in the name of the Lord. She would not give up. And I'm going to say to you right now, to this church, don't give up. The Lord gave me a message this morning. Our potential is not now. Our potential is then. We cannot give up on what God is about to do. There is a seed of righteousness. There is a seed of righteousness in all of us. We have a rich legacy. When you think about the preachers that came from this house, the churches that came from this house, the saints that have come from this house, and we're still here, we're still weathering the storm, it's because God said, I'll place a seed of righteousness in you, and your potential is greater than your struggle. You can't follow after. You can't follow after some ministries that have closed the doors and given up because folks have left. And I know what statistics say about the declining membership in churches, but statistics have no bearing on the word of the Lord. God said, my house will be a house that will be full from top to bottom. He says it's going to be a great house. What God said is one thing, but you got to believe what God said. You can't believe what your circumstances say about you, but you got to trust and know that in spite of your circumstance, that he is a healer. Who touched me? God wants to know who touched me, but I want to take it back. God wants to know who will touch me, who will make it up in their mind that despite what others may say, despite how others may feel, I know this is vacation time.
Yes.
I'm very much aware of that. But I understand this too. Everybody ain't at a tropical island. Everybody ain't on a cruise ship. But thanks be to God, God is not taking a break. Think for a minute if he took a break. Think for a minute if he said, I'm not going to give you goodness to occupy you today and mercy to cover you today. But every day he keeps on blessing us, and all he wants from us is somebody that will make up their mind. I'm not just going to church because it's Sunday. I'm going to God's house to touch him. I want to feel him. I want to embrace him. I want to know that he's here in the house and he's got my blessing with my name on it. She received something under the law she was not worthy to receive. Because when you read Leviticus, the 15th chapter, she should have been outside of the city when Jesus was coming through. But This is why you can't tell everybody everything.
Right.
Desperation and frustration caused her to say, despite your situation, you need help. And this is the man that's going to help you. Now, notice if you will, the Bible says, as she came behind Jesus in the crowd, notice something. When God tells you to do something, don't think about it. Just do it. Because oftentimes, when you think about it, you disavow what God is saying by faith to do for that moment. In other words, you miss your moment. She was not going to miss her moment because in her moment was her opportunity. And in her opportunity was her opportunity for her healing. So she said, I'm not going to miss my moment. I'm not going to miss my opportunity in my moment, because in my opportunity in this moment is my healing. Because she said, notice this if you will, she said within herself. She couldn't say out loud, Jesus, help me. Jesus, touch me, like blind Bartimaeus. Because it would have attracted the attention of the people to her. What she said, I'm not going to get their attention. I'm going to get his attention. That's why I understand sometimes when people praise the way they do, they may look strange to some of us. Because their praise looks kind of strange and different, but their praise is not to attract our attention. Their praise is meant to attract the attention of the Master. And when you're really desperate, you can care how your hair looks. When you're really desperate, you can care less about your makeup being right. When you're really desperate, you can care less about how you look before others, because you recognize I need help and my help has arrived. So when God speaks to you, saints, listen to me. When God speaks to you in the service, get up and do what he told you to do. Don't confer with flesh and blood. Because flesh and blood will say, child, I don't know about that. No, you don't know, because God didn't speak it to you. He spoke it to them. The Bible says she came behind Jesus. And she said, notice this if you will. She said within herself. She was silent. She said within herself, if I could but touch the hem, if I could get the opportunity to seize the opportunity for my healing. Because notice if you will, I'm tired of going to doctor after doctor and not getting any better. I'm tired of trying this situation. I'm tired of trying this. I'm tired of trying that. And now, here's the man that I heard something about. Because notice, if you will, faith drove her to the place where Jesus was. Can I say this, y'all? Don't worry about some people. Keep praying for them. Because desperation and frustration is going to be the invitation to bring them to the house before you will. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. Because when life really comes at them hard and heavy, they know about God. And they know at the end of the day, I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried this, I've tried that, and that didn't work, and I'm frustrated, and I'm desperate. And when they come through the doors, y'all, don't look at them strange. Just get ready to put your arms around them and love them. And understand, although society in this situation has alienated them, God wants them in the house.
Yes.
Amen. Bible said, she comes behind Jesus, and she touches him, and Jesus asks the question, who touched me? Somebody, he knew, somebody had gotten his attention. Can I ask this question? Do we sing to sound good to the saints, or do we sing to please God? Don't answer it. There's a lot There's a lot of performance-based ministry that goes on. When I say performance-based, there's a lot of showmanship. Hollywood has come into the church in many instances. But when you worship God, it's not for the purpose of entertaining people. And when you praise God, you don't have in mind what you're doing for other people.
Yeah.
This is personal.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Thank you, Jesus.
Can I say that again? My praise is personal.
Yes.
You don't have to understand why I rejoice the way that I do. But understand, I'm praising him for either something he's done, something he's doing, or something he's yet about to do. But my praise is that personal. And because it's so personal, I'm not going to try to explain why I praise him the way that I do. I just know that I'm in the place to get my blessing, and I'm not leaving until I get it. And I'm not going to let anyone or anything provoke me to stop me from getting it. Don't walk around here with the spirit of Michael. Looking at the Davids who are praising God, because you have to understand something. They're praising God not to please you. They're praising God because they recognize God has done something special. She could not draw attention to herself, because if she did, they would have removed her. And the wild thing about this, she was considered unclean.
Yes.
And if the people, this is the wild thing, I wonder how was the crowd following after Jesus and didn't recognize her? Think about that for a second. How is that all these people were following after God and no one saw this woman in need? Could it be possible that we are so preoccupied with trying to be spiritually important that we don't take time to recognize those around us who are hurting, who are going through? Or, now think about this, the scripture says, the woman said, if I could touch the hem. Now the hem ain't up here. The hem is down. So the crowd was moving so forcefully. Wait a minute. You think they could have trampled over her? Think about this. We can't become so preoccupied with getting ours that we forget that there are people who are less fortunate.
Yes, yes.
Now, like I said, I had to dig a little bit deeper. Not only was she anemic, but she probably didn't have much strength.
Right.
Because when you lose blood, it takes something out of you.
Right. It does.
It makes you weak.
Yes, it does.
So, but now think about this. Although being weak and desperate, it still did not stop her. Uh-oh. I speak to the lazy spirit right now. And I bind it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. I speak against the spirit of laziness. And I bind it in Jesus' name. This woman could resign herself to her condition and say, oh, well, this is my lot in life. Or as the children say, it is what it is. But you know what? You know what? I believe I'm talking to desperate people who recognize this is not our lot in life. This is not what God wants for this house. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. This is not what we should settle for.
That's right.
I'm going to say it again. This is not what we should settle for. So God says, greater works, although you may appear not to be as strong as you were, if you would get down in humility and reach out for me, says, when the blessing comes, it's not going to come over days and weeks. It's going to happen immediately. And that's what I'm praying for the church. Not a long-term turnaround, but a quick turnaround. Because some of us have been to a place, Lord, I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I got to usher this week. I got to sing this week. I got to play this week. I got to usher that week. I got to pray this week. I got to sing this week. I got to usher that week. And I'm frustrated and I'm tired. But God said, you're at the right place for a blessing. Don't give up because your blessing is about to come down the aisle. Oh yeah, I feel your frustration. Don't think because I don't say nothing, I don't know what's going on. I'm not oblivious, I know. And that's why I say I speak against that spirit of laziness and indifference and apathy and indifference. I'm calling them out, y'all. And lack of faithfulness, I'm calling them out. Because God wants his house filled. But it can't be about us. I'm going to say that again. It cannot be about us. This ministry was never a personality-driven ministry. Shame on you if you don't come to church because the pastor ain't here. Shame on you if you don't come to church because it's not your time to usher. Shame on you if you don't come to church because it's not your time to sing. Shame on you. It's not about you. It's about God.
Amen.
She wouldn't give up. Amen. Even in her weak, anemic, alienated state, she said, my opportunity has arrived, and I'm not going to miss my moment because of what others may say. Or what others may do. Because you know how some of us can be. Child, you unclean. Get back.
Mm-hmm. That's how we
just tell them. Get away. Get away from me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be unclean. Because, you know, the law said if you came in contact with someone that was unclean, you were considered unclean too.
That's right.
So, this is what we miss it in grace. Because that's under the law, y'all. This is grace.
Well.
When someone sins and they go out of the ark of safety and they desire to come back to the church, we shouldn't say, oh, put them back there. Don't put them up here by me. No, we should do, bring them up here. Let me put my arms around them. I know they don't look nice. I know they don't smell nice. But guess what? They're still God's child. Uh-oh. And who gives us the right to treat them any different? Because everybody that backslides don't need the church. Some people stay right here and backslide. So we can't mistreat people because we know their resume on the street. But God says to love on them. But think about this. She said within herself, I can't say this out loud. Because if I say it out loud, some folk in the church ain't going to let me come around. And there's some people like, you know, don't let him get near the pastor. He's anointed.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Right. Wait a minute. This person is coming for help.
Amen. Jesus.
And think about this. You're looking at this person in their state of weakness today. Tomorrow, the roles can be reversed.
Reversed.
Oh. Well, Jesus.
That's right.
You could be the one down and out. Reaching for help.
Yeah.
Today you're in the church. You know what separates us? It's the grace of God. There's a fine line of demarcation. People say, I don't know how people do stuff they do. Well, given the right tools, given the right opportunity, and the right atmosphere, you mess up too. Uh-oh. And stop blaming young people.
That's right.
Mm. Well, old people mess up too. They got more money, more time,
right.
And more liberty to do it. Young people don't have no money. They have to be creative. Uh oh. Sin is sin. However you look at it, no matter what age, it's sin.
No different.
But the bottom line is the only thing that separates us is the grace of God. This woman, even in her weak, depraved state, would not give up.
Jesus.
Great words, don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Don't give up. Please listen to me very carefully. Hear my heart. Don't give up. Like this woman, we have seen some wonderful days. We've seen some wonderful times. But guess what? Sometimes,
Jesus.
Don't play the music because I'll be not right now because what I'm about to say may be kind of strong. But sometimes, when God does a cleaning in a house,
yes.
Listen to me very carefully. Sometimes he has to put trash out. When I say he's put trash out, he's put things that get in the way of his movement, of his power, of his plan. Sometimes he has to do that. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about mindsets. Because it's not people. There are spirits at work. That's what we have to deal with. And that's what I said earlier. Laziness, indifference, those are spirits that I called out. And you wonder why I called them out. As a priest of this house, I had to call them out in order to expose them. And after calling them out, binding them. And loosing faithful, willing, dedicated workers. Disciples. Those that want to serve the Lord and those that want to do his bidding. And please understand, I'm not beating y'all up. I want to encourage you to understand that we cannot give up on the seed that God placed in us.
Jesus.
Seed of what? Righteousness. This church is still here despite the odds.
Amen.
Y'all ain't hearing me.
Yes.
Because I had somebody, I'm not going to name him, somebody even had the nerve to say to me, y'all still down there? I'm like, yeah, come on Sunday morning. You may just get saved yourself.
Well.
Seriously. Because in some people's minds, they're thinking, you're not going to make it.
Jesus.
Just like this woman. If she reasoned within herself, Jesus. She probably would think, I'm not going to make it.
Jesus.
But something in her drove her to the place
Jesus.
Where Jesus was.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I know he's in your living room. But this is the house. Where we all come and gather together on one accord to touch him collectively.
Yes.
I know he's in your car. That's wonderful. But he wants us to come and gather and assemble in his house as a family.
As a family.
He wants us to come home and spend time with him and commune with him and talk and share with our brothers and our sisters about his goodness toward us.
Goodness.
Do you know what Sunday morning means? It means an opportunity to say thank you to God for what he's done for us in the course of the week.
Yes. Amen.
I'm sorry, y'all. Please don't take me wrong. I feel so out of order if I'm not in church on Sunday. I get the heebie-jeebies. Whatever they are, I just feel uneasy.
Uneasy. There you go.
Because I know this is what is in me.
There you go.
I was created to worship him.
Yeah.
And I can't do what I'm doing now in the course of the week.
There you can.
Amen.
They will take me somewhere, give me the white box, and take my badge.
Yeah.
And say bye-bye. But I can do this. Today, I can celebrate him.
Celebrate today.
Today. Like no other day. Because this is my opportunity to get what I need for today because I don't know what tomorrow holds. Because I know there's a challenge coming. I know there's a battle that's got to be fought. But he's giving me what I need to make it through today. Listen to me very carefully. Even in, as I stated, her state, the weakness, her struggle. And I want to say this to somebody, and I pray it blesses you. No matter what your struggle, no matter what your weakness, Don't rob yourself of the potential to be blessed. Don't reason with yourself about your situation and have your situation keep you in a prison. There's liberty in God's house. Can I say something? Sometimes your deliverance does not come from the altar. It doesn't come from the preach word. God can give a brother or sister such a discerning spirit and insight into you. They don't have to say a word. All they need to do is just put their arm around you or just touch you and say, you're going to make it. And that's enough fuel to help you to get through whatever you got to get through. Just that little bit of encouragement is all some people need. Let's all stand. When I look at the text, I don't believe the miracle was so much her healing. I believe that that's part of it. But the miracle is that she was able to remain silent until she got her healing. Now, when you look at the text, look at it very carefully. When she opens her mouth, she confesses and declares her healing by way of her situation. She lets the people know. She lets the people know why I'm grateful. Here's something else about praise we don't may not understand. Some people are praising God for stuff.
That's right. That's right.
They're not praising God because God answered a prayer.
That's right.
They're just praising God because they're grateful.
Because they're grateful.
And gratitude covers so many things. What do you mean? Grateful, Pastor. Grateful in that situation, I didn't lose my mind.
Amen.
Grateful in this situation, I didn't go inside somebody's head. Grateful in this situation that I didn't step out of character.
Yes.
Grateful that although I was fussing about the traffic that had me blocked up, and when I went down a few yards down, I saw a motorcycle charred like I did yesterday. I was in Delaware coming back home and on Route 1, and I'm like, why is all this traffic backed up? It's 3 o'clock. I was steady fussing, and I saw a trooper, and I'm like, that better not be Box. I'm letting him have it.
Thank you.
And pulled up, and here was the poor motorcycle charred. I'm like, ooh. If that's the fight, where's the rider?
Exactly.
So then I said, Lord, I thank you.
Thank you.
That you stopped traffic enough that I didn't get caught up in it.
That's right.
How many people can say they thank God that they didn't get caught up in some stuff? You were fussing. I want to keep moving when God slowed you down.
That's right.
And kept you away from something that was coming.
Right.
In your direction, but God stopped it, stopped you, so you would become a recipient of what you just saw. You're not a recipient, but now you're a witness of God's faithfulness. Please listen to me very carefully. The miracle is she was able to maintain silence while struggling. Can I say something, y'all? Everybody don't need to know what you're going through.
Amen.
Everybody don't need to know.
Yes.
Well, the saints need to know what to pray for. Ooh, back up. Wait a minute. We should be praying for you anyway.
That's right.
And you don't have to give us a laundry list of details what we should be praying for.
That's right.
Uh-oh. I mean, it's not that deep. Just pray for me. Well, I need to know what I'm praying for. Well, no, you don't. You operating in the spirit of nosiness. That's not. No. All you need to do is just pray for me. And she was able, once again, to maintain silence. Because remember now, if she sprained her heart, because probably she was too weak to probably do that. But she didn't want to wash it now. And here's something that you have to understand about true praise. True praise doesn't draw attention to you. Uh-oh. Can I say something? I've been around church for long enough. I can tell when people are, you know, picking them up, putting them down, because there's some stuff they need to come to my office and talk about.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
When the praise is genuine, you can feel it in your spirit.
Yes.
Versus people just jumping.
Yes.
Because there's a whole lot of people jumping.
Yes.
That should be taking a step, going to the office, Pastor. You know, this is the situation. But she was quiet. She maintained her silence and suffered with what she was going through. But when she opened her mouth, she declared her healing. And she declared her reason why she was grateful for her healing. Jesus knew, think about this, he knew who touched her. But he wanted her to come out. Now, nobody can say, get away from me. Nobody can say, get away from me. Because now she's out in the open. And she's healed.
Immediately.
Now, nobody can say, you can't come into our church. You can't sit here. You can't call me unclean no more. Because God made her clean. In an instant.
Yes.
Believe God for the quick turnaround.
Yes.
What I mean by that, for those loved ones, for those family members who are out there, who are strung out, who are doing whatever, believe God for the quick turnaround. Because you're going to do it. Because you know why? Because apparently, watch this now, apparently her faith, notice what Jesus said. He didn't say it was her touch. He didn't say it was her effort. He said her faith. Her quiet faith? Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I was raised in a Pentecostal apostolic church where everybody had to make some noise. Come on, be a mouth of praise him. Come on. Come on, saints. Come on. Come on. Get up. Get up. Get up. I'm sorry.
You know you're wrong.
I was praying. You was a good thing. The Lord had grace in you downstairs. I said, this may make a YouTube clip. Because if Mumsy gets up and clocks him, I'll put it on YouTube. David had the cameras running. I said, but the point I'm making is this. We try to make people respond the same way. But God moves differently with everybody. Everybody don't run around the church. Some people are quiet and they get their praise too contrary to what you think. And everybody that's loud ain't getting the blessing. They just making noise. And people coming in and out of here making all kinds of noise. And the Spirit of the Lord, many times, I'm like, Lord, I would just want to walk up to them and tell them to shut up. The Lord said, no, leave them alone. Leave them alone. Because the Bible says the Holy Ghost does not act unseemly. It does not. It knows how to conduct itself. You can't make everybody do what everybody else is doing. Yeah, she needs it. But you should have given it to her last week when that guy was trying to pick her up. I'm sorry, Miguel. I would say, Lord, if this man comes upstairs right now, it's going to be on and popping. Ooh, Jesus. Now that was one instance where we thank God for Mother McKim's Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Yes. I, I will leave that one alone for another message. Because the red in her might have rose up just to show
her.
But the point I'm making is this.
Yes.
Everybody's praise is not the same.
That's right.
I'm sorry, everybody's expression.
Yes.
Of praise is not the same.
Amen.
If you don't believe me, take a stroll down to the 150th Division Psalm with me.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen.
I had an opportunity a few years ago to go to the Kimmel and watch an orchestra performance.
Yes.
And before the performance, the musicians tuned up their instruments. And they were, you know, a whole lot of strange sounds. But the more I just watched and listened to them tune up, I got a revelation. I said, oh my God, even the instruments have a breath. And that's what they were saying, that everything, the oboe, the flute, the harp, that everything that had breath. And when it came together, but the harp's expression is different than the bass.
Yes, yes.
And it's different than the trumpet. But they all have a praise. So we can't make people get up and run around the church because everybody else is running around. So many people pass out.
Well,
amen. Amen. Some people, their running is right here.
That's right.
That's it. That's cool. If you can do that, that's cool. But if you're not anointed enough and if God don't give you the wind to take off, stay right where you are. Wait, I don't think we got a defibrillator up in here. Stay in your lane, honey. She said, I'm not going to leave until I get mine.
That's right.
I'm not leaving this opportunity to pass by. I've made up in my mind, if I can get close enough to him to touch him. And she didn't take the crowd into consideration at all.
That's right.
And she probably had somebody that was staring at her kind of funny. You know how church folk are?
Yes.
Won't say nothing.
That's right. Get you a little
bit of blessing. I bet you that.
Yep.
Fake smile.
Yep. There we go.
Yep.
Who will touch you?
Yes.
She walked out with a blessing.
Thank you, Jesus. She did.
All they had was an encounter.
Yes.
Talk about it.
Uh-oh.
Talk about it.
They had an encounter. They came to church.
Yeah.
Yeah. She got a blessing.
She got a blessing.
They came to the meeting, but she got delivered. Uh-oh. They went to convocation, but they got set free. There's a difference between coming to the house and touching Jesus. Not everybody that comes to the doors touches him.
Right.
But some people aren't desperate. And you know something? You can't be comfortable and be desperate.
That's right.
And I'll wrap this up. And you can't be cute either.
That's right.
Jesus.
Yes.
Uh-oh. You can't be cute. I'm watching people. Well, I'm about to wrap up. I'm so glad we got saved worship leaders. You know, they clap their hands. Do you see some worship leaders, you know?
Right.
Because they just got their nails done.
Yeah, right.
I thought y'all would catch it, but some of them. No. Whatever you've got on, whatever has been done, you should be able to come to God's house and praise Him through it.
Yes, that's right.
And not worry about your looks, your appearances.
That's right.
I got sweat on the shirt. I'm going home. And it's going in the basket with the dry cleaning stuff. But guess what? I can't be so proud that I can't give God praise in this. Because guess what? Some of us, before we knew the Lord, we went places and we heard Bootsy, we heard The Gap, Stevie was playing, Lufa was playing, and we got a little more sweatier than this. Oh, wrong crowd, I'm sorry.
Wrong crowd.
You telling the truth, I know about it.
Oh, let me go back. Motown, Marvin.
Yes, I ain't faking it. I know.
The Dells. Do I need to go back a little further? Before we knew the Lord, there were places we went. And we rejoiced. We didn't call it rejoicing, we called it dancing. And now we come to God's house. Oh, I can't. No. Oh, I'm too pretty. I'm dressed. You're ugly. No, you're not. No. Gotta get desperate like this woman.
Yes.
Gotta get desperate. Absolutely. And when you're frustrated because you try your resources to get help and you don't get any better,
yes,
then that's the place where you can recognize
Jesus.
God can help me.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And when the opportunity comes, don't waste it because of your looks.
Yes.
Don't waste it because of the opinions of others. People will always have an opinion about you.
Yeah.
Always.
But see, you can't live in their opinion.
That's right.
Amen. Yes. Say that again.
Because if you live in their opinion, you're a slave.
That's right. Yeah.
Without a chain.
Right.
But your chain is their opinion.
That's right.
I don't worry about what they think. Well, why are you worried about that for?
Right.
They gonna sleep at night while you worried about what they thinking.
That's right.
Get a life, get over yourself, and live for God.
Live for God.
Yeah. Anybody here this morning that desires prayer? Say, Pastor, I can't talk about what I'm going through because the saints wouldn't understand. Well, we don't really want you to tell everything. You know, sometimes I look at some people and I'm like, do I have doctors filling my head? But sometimes people will come and they'll just unload. But I've learned that sometimes God sends them and sometimes this situation sends them. But I have to be sensitive enough to understand that they're hurting and in pain. So I have to put my spiritual ear on.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody listen to me. Not my fleshly ear, because my fleshly ear might say this, might say that. But you know, I've come to understand something. I may not have all the answers, but I know who does.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know who does. And there are some things that go beyond the scope of prayer. Some things require some fasting and some prayer. And some things require some deliverance. Uh-oh. Some folk are jacked up not because of greens and potato salad at midnight. No, they jacked up because of that. They jacked up because they done got involved in some stuff and demons have found entrance. Oh, y'all don't believe in demons?
Yes.
They're real. Pastor saying that. Look at how crazy these people are acting.
That's right.
Devil's got people's minds nowadays doing all kinds of damnable things. And we as a church have got to be ready to deal with the stuff.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Because some people got some undercover stuff going down. And we can't say God is good and got an aroma of the devil like, oh, we keep the devil back. No, we got to call it out.
Yes.
Thank God for all the saints of my mother, Madeline Jackson. Some of y'all, boy, if she was around, y'all be spooked to death. Mother McKinley, Mother McKinley, remember her from Camden, New Jersey.
Yes, Lord.
That woman had the spirit of discernment. You walk into church, and everything, people be praising God. She goes, oh, somebody was where they shouldn't have been. And they didn't have the pins then, but somebody had something. I'm sorry. But she put the fear of God in you so strong. And them old saints weren't afraid to call you out. Come here, baby.
That's right. That worked.
Right. And they weren't concerned about your feelings. They were concerned about your soul.
That's right.
See, we got this thing reversed now. But don't say no. You're going to hurt their feelings. Okay. Later for their feelings, it's their soul that needs to be saved.
Jesus.
The old stage, come here, baby. Don't you know Jesus loves you? You need to put that stuff down, baby. And they were so sweet and so kind, but they had discernment like a laser. Pinpoint accuracy. And many of them walked around in the prophetic and were called themselves prophetess or prophets.
That's right. They didn't have it.
They didn't have it, but they operated in that gift.
Yes.
Said, baby, if you don't do this, I see this down the line for you. And they were right, because their words didn't fall to the ground.
Yes.
And these were saints that had no titles. You probably wouldn't see them on the Word Network, wouldn't see them on TVN, but they had power.
Yes.
I used to think Mother Rath was a cut up. She always come around singing, hallelujah, I'm walking with, just cutting up.
Yes.
Until one day I was at prayer group and I was sick as I don't know what. And she walked up to me, said, in the name of Jesus, power. I'm like, whoa. She had power.
Yes.
What has happened to the church? We got chandeliers. We got elevators. We got mega ministries. We got buses. We ain't got fans. We got buses. The videos now, but we don't have power.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
We got a lot of stuff. Have we failed to remember that God can heal? Oh, Mother Kim, you got any Advil? I got a headache.
Yeah.
You passing more drugs in the church.
That's true.
2 years ago, you got a headache? Come on, let's pray. Buy that double right now. And what way fall to call? We'll get you in your seat.
Yeah, right.
But now, ask Mother Kim for Advil.
Yeah, right.
In church. There's still power in the name of Jesus. If you're here and you desire prayer, come on. Come on. Whatever the circumstance or need may be. Circumstance doesn't have to be a negative situation. It can be something that you're weighing God's decision on, weighing God's direction on. You need some guidance. You need some direction. Come on. Come as close as you can. Father, we thank and praise you for this opportunity. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your blessings that you keep on bestowing and sending our way. I thank you for each and every one under the sound of my voice right now. And I pray that you would cover each one with your blood, that you would bless them and they're going in. Bless them and they're coming out. Bless them in the city. Bless them in the field. And cause them to be a blessing. I pray for your prosperity, your favor to rest over every household, that there be no need, no lack, no need, but Lord, all needs will be met. All needs will be supplied. I thank you for abundance and overflow. And I thank you right now for what you've done, what you're doing, and all that you are yet about to do for this great church and for this Lord. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.